You are listening to a very special Stumptown Trade Review from Emerald City Comic Con. We are sitting down today with Erica Moen of Dar fame. Thanks a lot for sitting down with us.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
So for people who are not familiar with Dar, can you just give us a brief overview of what it is?
It is my autobiographical comic that I drew from the time I was 20 years old up until the end of 2009, so I was 26 years old. And it covers my process from being somebody who very much identified as a lesbian, was not attracted to men at all, who then goes on a trip and falls in love with a British man, and how that affected my identity, and eventually I did wind up marrying him. so it's kind of a capsule to a time in my life that was very up in the air, very much being redefined. And then along the way, I think farting and pooping are hilarious. So there's a lot of jokes about that. There's a lot of jokes about sex. It's very much not safe for work. And minors, please don't go look at it. I really don't want to get in trouble.
So, you know, you talk about it being an autobiographical comic. And you, like you said, you don't stick to sort of the labels that go along with it. You identified as a lesbian, and then you met your, soon-to-be husband. And then there's this whole section there where you're trying to figure out what that means for you. How did that go over with the readership and people who identified with you being a lesbian, and all of a sudden now you're dating a man?
It's very interesting, actually. And let me just say that even though I can summarize that in, like, you know, a sentence, oh, I was a lesbian, I fell in love with a man, there were many, many tears along the way. It was a very hard time. For my readership, it's kind of split. There were a good number of my queer-identified readers who were like, what? Traitor? And who will come up to me at conventions and be like, you know what? I'm so disappointed in you. And it's like, dude, I've never met you. You've never even like, who are you? How can you cast judgment on me like that? But then, surprisingly, there are a lot of queer people out there who wound up falling in love with somebody of the opposite sex, and who now appear on the outside to be straight, even though, you know, we're not, but you can't really help but look like that when you're with somebody of the opposite sex. So I actually found this huge number of people who were like, oh my God, I identify with that. Oh my God, that happened to me. Isn't it freaky? There is a word for that for former lesbians. It is a has-been, which I think is hilarious. I kind of want to make a t-shirt that says has-been. But I still very much identify as queer. I know I'm not straight. My husband and I like to check out cute girls together.
Yeah, you have something for Stormy, isn't that it?
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's a lot. Yeah, Stormy is a stripper in Portland, and she's the bee's knees. So, yeah, Matt and I go to strip clubs together all the time, and we buy each other lap dances.
Sounds like the perfect relationship to me.
I'm very happy. I am so in love. I have never met somebody who treats me so well and loves me so much, and I love and respect, and he shares my sense of humor. I'm sorry, I could spend the whole half hour talking about him, but I love my husband. I think he's the best.
So, you know, you talked a little bit about people coming up to you at conventions and telling you just how disappointed they are in you for this decision. Do you see this as, you know,
completely hypocritical? Completely hypocritical.
Bad con etiquette?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Is this part of sort of the trials and tribulations that you see as being an autobiographical cartoonist, spreading so much of your life out there?
Yeah. I have been told that, oh, you're so brave, you're so courageous to put that out there. But I wasn't, because when you do something that's of valor, it means that you've kind of sized up the situation and been like, okay, if I do this, it's worth the consequences. I'm going to do it anyway with the knowledge that it'll have consequences. That's brave. What I did was, oh my God, this is hilarious. Oh my God, I'm thinking about this right now. I'm going to put it on the internet. And then later it's like, oh shit, there's consequences. Oh, fuck. So it's kind of, I'm not brave, it's very stupid.
Well, and you spaced out with a sizable amount of poop and fart jokes, which seemed to have softened the blow for people.
Yes. Yeah.
So recently, to my great sadness, you chose to end Dar. Like you said, it sort of, you've come to a point in your life where that part is sort of over. How did you, I mean, was that the main motivation, that you just sort of reached a happy point in your life and it was time to move on, or what was the decision?
Well, there were many factors, actually, but they all kind of came together in one go. And primarily it's that I did this journal comic for 6 years, and it was never supposed to be my main gig. It was just something like, oh, hey, I just pooped out a comic. All right. Dar wound up being kind of my training wheels for how to make comics and how to tell a cohesive story and how to summarize everything and get it out in 6 panels. And Dar was my crash course in making a readable comic. And you gotta get rid of your training wheels at some point. It's like, okay, well, I've learned how to make a comic. I've learned how to draw. I've learned how to work on a schedule, how to have an audience. Now it's time to go and do a real project, you know? And then on the other hand, my life has gotten to a point where if I kept doing Dar, it was just gonna be, okay, it's another Tuesday update. Guess what, guys? We're still in love with each other. Oh, life is so great. Like, it was just gonna be happy, happy, happy. I mean, and I don't know, maybe something bad would happen, but I just didn't have stuff that was worthy to be turned into a comic. It wasn't worth reading anymore. So I feel like I ended it at a very natural point in my life. I started it when I was 20. I ended it when I was 26. It has a whole arc to it, unintentional, but it wound up having a beginning, middle, and end. So I ended it when I felt it was naturally ready time. And I don't want to just be the auto-bio comics girl. I want to do other stories. And right now I'm working with a couple different authors on totally fictional stories. And I should be launching them later this year. I'm very excited about them. I love working on fiction. The reason why I did auto-bio is because I don't know how to make up a story. So I would just let things happen to me and then I would turn them into a comic. But I love fiction. And I think it's really, I love that people can invent these whole worlds. And so I'm hoping to work with these two authors and maybe kind of get used to the idea of working on fiction, because it kind of terrifies me for me to make up fiction. But I'm hoping they'll kind of be my training wheels into the made-up world. And then eventually I would like to go and do my own fiction. So yeah.
Fantastic. Because that was going to be my next question, is what's next? Because you, over the course of the 6 years, you've really sort of, one trick pony isn't the right word, but like you said, I mean, you were a very autobiographical comic and writing about this, and that sort of seemed to be everything, and you had sort of temp jobs along the way, and now you've gone on to sculpture, you did animation work for Coraline. That's incorrect.
That is incorrect. I was a production assistant on Coraline. That means I was the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the ladder. I did nothing creative for Coraline.
My mistake. And then you do modeling as well as part of this. So, you know, you can see how you've really expanded the creative aspect. Any other creative projects other than just the cartooning that's coming up for you?
Yes, actually. There's one of my favorite photographers. Her name is, her stage name is Vizio Luxus. Her real name is Elisa Lazo de Valdez. I've modeled for her many times and love working with her. I was a huge fan of her work before. And then she put out a call on her website. I was like, oh man, all my Portland models are moving away. And I wrote back, I'm like, hey, I'm in Portland. I will get naked for you. And so we've collaborated. Well, I don't know if collaborate is the right word, but I've modeled for her and she's taken pictures of me for well over a year now, I think. And she's seen that I do these little, just funsies sculptures of tentacles. I wouldn't call myself a sculptor. It's just kind of a hobby I do. But she wants me to make this kind of elaborate prop for a photo shoot. So I don't know. It might be incorporating some sculpture into the photo along with the naked. I don't know. It's cool. But primarily, I am just focused on doing comics and doing illustrations and freelance. So yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sitting down with us. I really appreciate it. And have a fantastic show.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure. And it was so nice to meet you.